यशोदानंदना ब्रजजन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रजजन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ वा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रजजन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रजजन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय जगतनाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा। जय गौरनिताई 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 जय गौरनिताई। जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा। जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य अश्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणम नमस्कृत्य नरम चैवम नरोत्तमम् देवीम सरस्वतीम व्यासम् ततो जय मुदीरयेत्। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1-5। द टेक्स्ट इज द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा and we have text number 1 here, correct? Yeah, text number 1 out of the 5. Atha sarva gunopeta kalaha parma shobhana yarahi eva jana marksam सांतर्कश्च ग्रहातार्क्रम। श्रीशुका उवाच अथा सर्वा गुणोपेता काला परमा शोभना यरहि एवा जना जन्मार्क्तम् संतार्कश ग्रहातारकम्। श्रीशुका उवाच अथा सर्वा गुणोपेता काला परमा शोभना यर्हि एवा जना जन्मार्थम् संतर्कश ग्रहातर्कम्। श्रीशुक उवाच अथ सर्वा गुणोपेता काला परमा शोभना संतार्क्ष ग्रह तारकम्। श्रीशुक उवाच अथ सर्व गुणोपेत काला परमा शोभना। Yarhi Vajana Janmaksham Santarksha Grahatarikam Shri Shuka Uvacha Atha Sarva Gunopeta Kala Parma Shobhana Janarmaksham Santarksha Grahatarikam Shri Shuka Uvacha Atha Sarva Gunopeta Kala Parma Sobhana Yarhi Eva Jana Janmaksam Santarksha Grahatarakam Shri Shuka Uvacha Atha Sarva Gunopeta Kalaha Parma Shobhana Yarhi Eva Jana Janmaksam Sankarsha Ginaha Tarikam. So we'll Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukdev Goswami said, Atha, on the occasion of Lord's appearance, Sarva, all around, Guna Upeta, endowed with material attributes or facilities, Kalha, a favorable time, Parama Shobhana, all auspicious and very favorable from all points of view. Yarhi, when, Eva, certainly, Ajana Janma Rakshagam. The constellation of stars known as Rohini. Santa Raksha. None of the constellations were fierce. All of them were peaceful. Graha Tarakam. And the planets and the stars like Ashwini. Disha. All directions. Prasedu. Appeared very auspicious and peaceful. Gaganam. All of outer space or the sky. Nirmala Udu Gana Udyam. In which all the auspicious stars were visible. In the upper strata of the universe. Mahi, the earth. Mangala, Vyushta, Pura, Garama, Raja, Akraha. This is the whole sentence. I will read it. Whose many cities, towns, pasturing grounds, and mines became auspicious and very neat and clean. Nadia, the rivers. Prasanna Salilaha. The waters became clear. Hridaha, the lakes or large reservoirs of water. Jalruha Shriya appeared very beautiful because of blooming lotuses all around. Dvija Ali Kula Sananda Stavakaha. The birds, especially the cuckoos and swarms of bees, began to chant in sweet voices. As if praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vana Rajaya. The green trees and plants were also very pleasing to see. Vava, blue, Vayu, the breeze, Shuka Sparsha, very pleasing to the touch. Punya Ganda Vaha, which was full of fragrance. Suchi, without pollution by dust. Agniha Cha, and the fires at the places of sacrifice. Dvijatinam, of the Brahmanas. Santaha, undisturbed, steady, calm and quiet. Tatra, there. Samindata, blazed. Manamsi, the minds of the Brahmanas, who because of Kansa had always been afraid. Asana became Prasanani, fully satisfied and free from disturbances. Sadhunam, of the Brahmanas, who were all Vaishnava devotees. Asura Druham, who had been oppressed by Kansa and other demons disturbing the discharge of religious rituals. Jayamane, because of the appearance or birth. Ajane, of Lord Vishnu, who is always unborn. Tasmin, in that situation. Nidhu, resounded. Dundubhya, kettle drums. Samam, simultaneously, from the upper planets. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashwani. The sun, the moon and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing and the beautiful stars twinkled the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmanas, engaging in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says his appearance, birth and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was also predominant because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu, and it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who in fact is birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious movements due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the mind of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demonic kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of Brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became joyful, their minds became full of joy, because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharad, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in bloom, and thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kansa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmanas and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmanas were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Asuras, the devotees and Brahmanas. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmanas were undisturbed. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vayai Vacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So before starting our discussion, I'll also read the summary of this particular chapter to get an overview of what is contained here. As described in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Hari in his original form, appeared as Vishnu, so that his father and mother could understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they were afraid of Kansa, when the Lord appeared as an ordinary child, they took him to Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Devaki, being fully transcendental, Sachidananda, does not belong to this material world. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared with four hands, as if born from her womb. Upon seeing the Lord in that Vishnu form, Vasudev was struck with wonder, and in transcendental happiness, he and Devaki mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Vasudev then offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the Supreme Person, Parabrahman, the Super Soul, who is beyond duality and who is internally and externally all-pervading. The Lord, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence. Although he is the creator of this material world, when he enters this world as Paramatma, he is all-pervading. Andantrastha Parmanu Chayantarastham. This is from Brahmasamhita. Yet he is transcendentally situated. For the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world, the Lord appears as the Guna Avataras, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. Thus, Vasudev offered prayers full of meaning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki followed her husband by offering prayers describing the transcendental nature of the Lord. Fearing Kansa and desiring that the Lord not be understood by atheistic and materialistic non-devotees, she prayed that the Lord withdraw. The Lord withdraw his transcendental four-armed form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. The Lord reminded Vasudeva and Devaki of two other incarnations in which he had appeared as their son. He had appeared as Prishnigarbha and Vamanadeva, and now this was the third time he was appearing as son of Devaki to fulfill their desire. The Lord then decided to leave the residence of Vasudev and Devaki in the prison house of Kansa. And at this very time, Yogmaya took birth as daughter of Yashoda. By the arrangement of Yogmaya, Vasudeva was able to leave the prison house and save the child from the hands of Kansa. When Vasudev brought Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that by Yogmaya's arrangement, Yashoda, as well as everyone else, was deeply asleep. Thus, he exchanged the babies, taking Yogmaya from Yashoda's lap and placing Krishna there instead. Then Vasudev returned to his own place, having taken Yogmaya as his daughter. He placed Yogmaya on Devaki's bed and prepared to be a prisoner as before. In Gokula, Yashoda could not understand whether she had given birth to a male or a female child. So this is describing the summary of chapter 3. In previous chapter, we read about demigods praying to Krishna. They first, together with when Mother Earth went to Lord Brahma and demigods, complaining about all the destruction and tortures which were inflicted by the Asuras. They went to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and prayed to him. Again, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, entered the womb of Devaki, the demigods again appeared in the prison house and prayed to the Supreme Personality. Now, the time had come when the Supreme Personality was going to actually arrive. So, since Mother Earth and the demigods were all praying for the advent of the Lord, they were now busy making the arrangement so that it's all very pleasant, nice and conducive all around. So in this particular verses, the glories of, as a matter of fact in this whole chapter, the glories of Krishna's birth are being described. Here in verse number 1 to 5 which we just read, the external settings are being described. And it's really amazing that seeing so many things, so many auspicious things or so many wonderful things happening at the same time. Normally, we would see some of them. We may see sometimes beautiful, birds around or peacocks singing. and dancing. We may see some flowers here and there. But now, at this particular event, all these symptoms or all these signs were visible at the same time. And it is also described that the constellations of the stars, especially the constellation Rohini, appeared, and Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that is a very, very auspicious constellation. In India, now slowly that practice is not being followed, but in the earlier times and even now in some places, before a marriage takes place, it doesn't take place just by looking at the convenient date on the calendar. So the brahmanas or the astrologers, they will look at the birth chart of the bride and the groom, and then they will do calculations and finally come to a conclusion the day on which they should get married. And not only the day, even the time is calculated, that the marriage should take place between this time to that time. And if it happens, if the marriage takes place at a time which is auspicious according to the location and position of stars, it is supposed to last forever. Whether it happens or not, that will be decided, or that will be known much later. But this practice was being followed. Number of times it happens that on the wedding day it rains, or there's a storm and things like that, so a lot of disturbance is there. And then the elderly in the family will say, oh, they decided to get married without doing all the astronomical calculations. They just decided to get married on a convenient day, but not according to what the stars were would foresee. So here, at the appearance of the Lord, the constellation and the position of all the stars was very, very favorable and auspicious. Now, how do we see this? So one can say that it is because it was all auspicious, that is why the Lord is appearing at that time. But the truth is, because the Lord was appearing, that is why everything became so auspicious. The constellation of stars, the all the other descriptions, that towns were decorated with beautiful trees, lilies and lotuses were blooming, trees and green plants were there, flowers and leaves, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting. So all this was happening because the Lord was appearing. And the demigods, who controls all these things which were happening at that time? Who controls the, you know, different signs which we are seeing here, or we are reading about? The demigods. And demigods wanted to create a very, very, let us say, impressive environment for the Lord when the Lord arrives. It's like if we invite somebody really important at our place, we try to make sure that everything is in order. You know, the house is clean, there is a proper place to sit, there are no, you know, rubbish lying around. We try to impress our guests. So, and especially if the guest happens to be your boss, you try to do even more. So here the demigods were trying to making arrangement for their boss to arrive. So they were doing all what they could do to make sure that Krishna is impressed by their preparations. So as this is going on, we read here the brahmanas were performing, felt like performing the sacrifices. They felt very happy and comfortable and peaceful in their minds. So there's a lot of description here about things which some of which we may not have even seen. Now, the other important discussion point in this particular chapter will be that how someone who is never born could take birth. So Krishna is called Ajanma. The Lord is Ajanma, that who was never born. And here in this particular chapter is titled The Birth of Lord Krishna. So this is a big paradox. So we will discuss that part a little bit from Bhagavad Gita. But before that, I would like to share with you a little information which is given in Puranas. So Krishna was born on Ashtami. That's why his the date of his birth we call Janmashtami. Janam means birth and Ashtami means the date. So Janmashtami is the day, 8th day on which Krishna was born. So it is said in Puran that Ashtami and Navami were not very auspicious days. So nobody will do anything auspicious on Ashtami or Navami. So the personalities of Ashtami and Navami, they went to Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna, and kind of, you know, expressed their unhappiness about it. So the Lord said to please them that I will take birth on Ashtami as Krishna and I will take birth as Rama on Navami. So that is what it says in some of the scriptures. But Krishna says in chapter 4, verse, I think 4, 6 and 4, 9 we have. In verse number 6 of chapter 4 in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my internal energy, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. And then, this is very important for all of us, where Krishna says, Jan karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mam iti surjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, takes his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalist and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve merging into the impersonal Brahman Jyoti of the Lord is only partial. So, further, in Brahma Samhita, it says, although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. In Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, it says, the one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna will take birth in different forms, have different pastimes with his devotees depending on the relationship with the devotee. So when Krishna came, as we are reading in these verses, he fulfilled desires of so many devotees. He fulfilled the desire of Vasudev and Devaki. He fulfilled the desire of Nand Maharaj and Yashoda. He fulfilled the desire of all the cowherd boys. He fulfilled the desire of gopis. So that way, when he arrived, and each, all of them, they had different relationship with the Supreme Personality. So even though he appeared as one person, he was able to make all of them happy, and he was able to have rasa, different type of rasas with all of them. Now, I'll just repeat the important part from this verse of Bhagavad Gita. So, where Krishna says, "One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities." So, it is important to know that. Now, we are reading about it. But if one understands this, then according to what Krishna says and Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, then one is bound to go back to the Goloka. He or she will not take birth again. Now, how do we do that? How do we know? How do we understand that? That is the important part. Luckily, and it's a difficult part also, because we read that philosophers and intellectuals and, you know, people, they are reading, they are using their intelligence, they are trying to do research and things like that, but they really do not make much progress, or if at all they make any progress, the process is very, very slow. Luckily for us, Srila Prabhupada has provided us the recipe. So our acharyas say, when Prabhupada quotes them, he says the path of bhakti is a definite and sure shot way of understanding the Lord. Because to understand it's so inconceivable when we are reading about him. There are so many contradictions and so many complexities that it is not at all easy to understand that as such. So we will be able to understand that only when the Lord wants it, and that will be possible only if we surrender unto him. If we accept him as our protector, and we accept that with full faith. So when we do that with full faith, only then there will be, Krishna will make arrangement. We say Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna reciprocate means Krishna will provide us help. Krishna will provide us means by which this job of understanding these complexities will be made easy for us. And Srila Prabhupada says very emphatically that by following the process of bhakti, we can very easily achieve that. And what does Srila Prabhupada prescribes? He says, chant, discuss Krishna Katha, which involves hearing, reading about Krishna, like we are doing now, and serve. When we are talking about serving, the importance is given to serving Krishna's devotees. So, we have all these opportunities, all of us have these opportunities, and we call ourselves very fortunate that we know this recipe. The only thing is that now we have to, you know, make use of it. All the instructions which are given to us by our acharyas, by Srila Prabhupada, if we make good use of it, we are bound to make the progress and go back to Godhead. So I would stop here and invite more inputs, discussions, corrections, questions.
was wondering about this point the demigods preparing all the planetary systems in the right way and the whole atmosphere properly for Krishna's appearance. I was wondering, I guess, if they have the power to do that, I'm wondering why they're not able to do it all the time, or to keep the situation perfect all the time. Because Krishna took birth, maybe they were empowered to be able to do that, or if they... That's my thought.
Thank you, Prabhu. The analogy I gave, like, you know, we live in a particular place, and it is the business as usual, generally, correct? But when a important person comes, then we make sure that everything is perfect. So it's like the president of United States, you know, there's a government in Chicago, there's a mayor, there are different departments, and they are running the show. And we know how well they are running it. But if the president wants to visit Chicago, they will make sure that everything is smooth, the traffic is moving properly at the cost of so many other people, and so on. So it is a natural process that if an important personality is arriving, some special arrangements have to be made for that personality. And this is exactly what the demigods and the Mother Earth, they are doing. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming on their request. So they just want to make sure that everything is perfect. And this is also, all these demigods and all the material nature, they are subservient to the Lord. So when the Lord is coming, they just want to impress him, and that is exactly the reason why they are doing it now. They don't have to do it. Normally, it may not be even there. They may not even think about it. Exactly the same way that we have things lying around in our house, and until and unless I know that my spiritual master is coming to visit me, I let them remain there on the table for weeks. But on that particular day, or just when I get to know, I'll make sure that I clean the entire, you know, place so that I am able to impress my spiritual master. Just to give you an analogy. Any other comments? Acharya Nishtha Prabhu, something to add? Okay. Yes, you want to say something, Prabhu? Okay. So, in that, yeah, Karunanidhi Prabhu wants to say something.
In this, before this verse that Prabhupada wrote, that, you know, that Krishna's four hundred form, he withdrew to 200 form because the mother Devaki she got frightened because of Kansa, you know, and demons that they cannot understand the transcendental form of Krishna. So, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
So, what I understand is that even Devaki and Vasudev, though they prayed and the Supreme Personality of God had promised that he will appear as their son, how would they know that this child born is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the Lord appeared first in that Vishnu form with the four arms, so that they would be able to recognize that, yes, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then after that, on the request of Vasudev and Devaki, he changed back, he transformed himself back to his original form, which is two-hand form. So that is the significance. Now, here it is also said that what you are referring, that in the summary, Prabhupada is describing what you have just mentioned. Let me read that from there. Fearing concern is desiring that the Lord not be understood by atheistic and materialistic non-devotees. She prayed that the Lord withdraw his transcendental four-armed form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. So, on the request of Devaki, the Lord transformed into his original two-armed, two-hands form. Also, because the parents are worried about the welfare of their children, so Devaki was also concerned. She knew that Kansa had been killing all the previous, you know, children who took birth. So she did not really want the little baby or the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this case to be harmed. Though she also knew that being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kansa will not be able to harm. And same way, if we look at the love of Mother Yashoda towards baby Krishna, Krishna did so many pastimes when he was staying at the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And they were such wonderful and such, you know, things, the pastimes which are there, the killing of so many demons and so on, that no ordinary human being could accomplish them. But still, Yashoda was never able to accept the fact or believed that his son, is a superhuman person. She always considered him as an ordinary young child, ordinary person, and treated him that way with love and affection. It is said that had Nand Maharaj and Yashoda known or realized that the child whom they are raising is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it would have been a totally different story altogether. It will be very different. So it can be looked at from different aspects. At the parent point of view, it is that Devaki wanted to make sure that no harm comes to the young baby. Krishna wanted to have his pastimes with cowherd boys and gopis and other residents of Vraja. So he also wanted to be there as a normal or ordinary looking person.
So again, thing is that to discuss more, that means Krishna could have, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he could have done himself two forms. So what is the question, where is the question of requesting him to become two hands?
Yeah. Actually, this is interesting question, because a question came in my mind many years ago, that where was the need for all this to happen? Devaki was getting married to Vasudev, Kansa was taking Devaki, he was so happy and he had so much of love and affection for Devaki that he was driving both of them in his own chariot to their palace. So where was the need for this voice from the sky to come? Krishna could have killed Kansa without any of these things. So where was the need for all this? But then there are so many things connected with story. So there are so many pastimes which would not have happened had Krishna had that voice from the sky not spoken. You know, so these are like Krishna's pastimes. He wanted to, Kansa was very, very proud of his strength. So after that Akashvani, the voice from the sky spoke, he always lived in fear. Even for a single moment, he was not without anxiety. So this is also an indication for people, especially for demonic people, who think that they are very powerful, they have so much of strength that nobody can, you know, do any harm to them. It is also, it's a lesson, it's an indication for them that they are never so strong that they can take a challenge of that way. Then, so that was one thing. Then same way, so Krishna could have done anything. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures that even to kill Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev did not come himself. He could have arranged it. But he came to also indicate to his devotees that Krishna is their protector. Those people who have trust and faith in Krishna, Krishna came to, you know, further solidify and that faith that I am there to support you, I am there to protect you, because you are my devotee, you are fully surrendered to me.
To add another point, devotees, they always want to see Krishna in 200 form. Like, for example, if you consider the episode like when Krishna came in four armed form as Narayana, gopis, they said, no, we don't want to see that form. they tried to give respect. They worshipped and they gave reverence. So everything's to Krishna. That's what they are a natural dormant of love didn't arise. Didn't means arise. So that time, so then they wanted to see only Krishna in 200 form. And also Brahma, Lord Brahma, he prays in our Brahma Sanhita. Samam Trivanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasam. So that means Brahma also wants to see in that original form.
In this chapter later on, these aspects will be further discussed. Raktak Prabhu and Keshav Krishna.
Thanks,
Prabhu. Raktak Prabhu has in hand before you, Prabhu.
Yeah, this is a brief question. Mother Yasoda never considered Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Actually, people from the village would go to her and say that, you know, this child is something very special. But she never agreed for that. She says, no, he is a very, like any other child. He's an ordinary child and he's my son and I'm going to treat him that way.
So what was her feelings when baby Krishna put the dirt in his mouth and she saw the universes inside of his mouth?
She was bewildered. She was bewildered.
And she didn't think of him as God when she saw him.
Still she didn't accept him as God or Supreme Personality. She would still punish him if he was doing a mischief. She would still try to tie him with ropes when he stole the butter. So we know those stories. So all that indicate that Yashoda all along treated Krishna as a mother would treat his mischievous son.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
These are very interesting. If in Vrindavan, Krishna was treated as one normal cowherd boy. And that's how the reciprocation of among the cowherd boys and the Krishna was of Sakya Ras. So they treated him exactly like themselves. That's how they were on the...
Nobody was fazed by the miracles and things.
Yeah, in spite of that.
It was like beyond being awestruck by the miracles that were happening.
Absolutely. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Keshav.
Thank you, Raraman. When Kamsa knew that he would be killed by one of Dakis offsprings, the whole cosmic, there were cosmic arrangements to make this birth to happen in a very discreet way. Not very discreet, secretly, transferring from Devaki to Mother Yashoda's womb and things like that. But on the other hand, we have all these cosmic manifestations at the same time, because no ordinary being was born. So I find this kind of like conflictive in the story. You know, in one hand, like, no, we have to keep this secret, and no, because there's arrangements for this to happen later on. But at the same time, things are announcing that the child is born.
Yes. So that increased Kansa's anxiety even more. Increased Kansa's anxiety even more, because he knew that his killer has arrived. And he tried his best to search for him. Because I think we shouldn't be talking more about the, you know, what is going to be discussed in the chapter in later on and in the next chapters. But after that, Yogmaya took birth at Yashoda's house. Okay, so Vasudev exchanged. He went to Gokula and left Krishna in the lap of Yashoda, and brought the baby girl who was born to Yashoda, and you know, kept that girl in with Devaki as Devaki's child. So in the morning, when Kansa heard about the birth of a child, as was the ritual, he called for the child to be brought to him, and when he saw that it was a girl, he was kind of surprised that, you know, how could this little girl be killing him? Because he didn't know that how and in what form Lord Vishnu is going to appear to kill him. So so at one time he was even, there was a little bit of a compassion in his heart towards that young baby girl. But at the same time, he was reminded by, you know, in his mental thoughts that, I don't want to take any chances. So he tried to kill that girl. And when he tried to kill that girl slipped out of his hands, and she declared, like it, from the sky, again there was a voice that I don't know the exact words, but to the effect that the person who is going to kill you has already arrived in this world and is safe. So when Kansa heard this, his anxiety was much more. He was really worried. And then rest of his life, he was always trying to search where that person is. So he would send his spies, he would send his soldiers all over to trace that superhuman person and kill him. So it was another, you can say, pastime of Krishna causing all these disturbances and anxieties for demons. Yes, Mata.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu.
Little closer.
Question is, like, earlier Kans was Jai Vijay, right? He was Jai Vijay, he was in the form of Jai Vijay. So if he did a mistake, and if he was cursed to go four times to earth to repay for his sins and come back to God, then why would he have to incur all these bad vibrations from all these people telling him that he's a demon when he was serving God, and for one mistake God told him, after four incarnations you will come back to me. So if he's going back to God anyways, then and God has come personally to take him back, then why is there a story that, I mean, he was demonic?
He did not know. And as Jai Vijay, they wanted to engage with Krishna in Saivalari Rasa, you know, Virya Rasa. It was their desire. When they were Jaya Vijaya, they wanted to engage with Lord Krishna in Virya Rasa. So Krishna fulfilled their desire. That was the aim. You know, as Hiranyakashipu, he killed them, he killed him. But it was not like ordinary this thing, you know, I mean, Kansa or Hiranyakashipu, they were really very, very powerful people. So Krishna, you know, doesn't like to, especially when it comes to Virya Rasa, he doesn't want to engage with somebody who's weak, correct? Then nobody will really be saying, oh, Krishna killed so and so. Krishna really wanted to kill people who were powerful, who were not vincible by ordinary human beings. So because of their desire, Jaya Vijaya's desire to engage with Krishna in Virya Rasa, he gave them, he fulfilled their desire.
So then basically there are no demons, because these were the epitome of demons, and if they are also going back to God, then everybody is eventually going back to God anyways.
But after how many lifetimes? So even when we are reading about demons, number of demons, they were devotees in some of their lifetimes. But because they did something abominable, they were wanting to, or they somehow created problems, and they were cursed by some, sages or elevated souls. They had to undergo those kind of tribulations in their life.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Prabhu.
Jai and Vijay. In Krishna, that's Shishupal and Dantavakra. But Kamsa's not one of the associates. He's just a...
little louder, please.
He's just a... he's not a devotee. He's a demon.
As Kamsa, yeah. Actually, if you hear...
No, but he's not Jai and Vijay. Jai and Vijay...
So, there were three incarnations, correct, for them. One was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The second one was... Shishupal and his brother, correct?
Dantavakra.
And the third one? Is Ravan and whom? Correct?
Yeah. Ravan and who? Kumbhakarna.
Ravan and Kumbhakarna. Correct? Yeah. So, but it is true, you see, if you read about Kansa, he was his previous, which we discussed actually in earlier chapters, and I think the previous canto, it explains the complete history of Kansa. He was a demon by the name Kalnemi, correct? Kalnemi. So he had several, previous. He has like history, let us put it that way. So he was cursed, and after he had fulfilled all his karmas, then the Supreme Personality of God had killed him to go back to him. But it is either we should this is just off the record remark, that either we should be in that position where we could become like, we could become demons like Kansa or Hiranyakashipu, where we can fight directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or we have an easier way of taking his protection, taking his shelter, and find a faster and quicker way, and think easier way also. So Prabhupada has given us that choice, has given us that option, and that we can follow this path and we can easily be, without going through all those difficulties, anxieties and tribulations, we can still go back to Godhead. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I guess first too.